Hello, everyone. Welcome to Just Getting By, episode 35, for Wednesday, the 26th of October, 2011. My name is Craig Jones, and I'm joined, as always, by Chemslave. Hello, Chemslave.
Howdy, Craig.
How are you doing this beautiful Wednesday afternoon?
It's the afternoon. I'm happy.
Good, 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 good. All right. So, this could be a quick show today. We have some kind of annoying stories to get through, nothing too serious. But let's start with a recap of, not necessarily we are going to revisit a subject that we touched on last week. And that is the war on Halloween. Chemslave, take it away.
Well, since last week's story about one school banning, or at least sort of trying to tone down the whole Columbus Day and then saying no to Halloween, well, it's not just happening in one school. It's happening in multiple schools all across the U.S. I found a story that sort of talks about there's many public schools to de-emphasize the celebration of Halloween at schools through the spirit, embracing a spirit of equity. Because there's social, financial, and cultural differences among our families that we must respect. So going into this whole PC thing about how people are offended by Halloween, how there's children who can't afford Halloween costumes, which I sort of think is a crock of shit, because you don't really need to buy the newest and greatest, like, Jason costume. I've dressed up as a hobo. Or actually, I dressed up as a miner, because I had my dad had like a mining cap. He had the lamp on. I had like this really ancient lamp they used like back in the day before they had like batteries, where it was like a kerosene lamp. I've known people who dressed up as hobos, where they just wore like a pair of old overalls and used like coal or something to dirty up their faces. So it's like, this is BS saying, oh yeah, children can't afford a costume. If there's a will, there's a way.
Absolutely.
This whole PC thing of trying to make everyone sort of happy by banning this, banning that, is really just getting ridiculous.
Oh, it really is. You're absolutely right about the costume issue. If a parent wants to provide a costume for a child, it's not difficult to make one up if you can't afford to pay for one. A piece of black fabric or, you know, an old coat or something cut the right way could be a cape. You can get very creative with these costumes. It doesn't necessarily have to be, like you said, the latest and greatest in Halloween costume technology. So that really is bullshit. It really is. It's just, this is a terrifying phenomenon. It is the want to eliminate all instances of independent thought in children in public schools. If children cannot dress up for Halloween, they don't have the choice of which character to be. If they, it's even like when they are in gym class, they can't play kickball and they can't play dodgeball because somebody might get hurt. Eventually, if you take away all of these activities, all of these things, you are left with a very bland, very, I don't know what the right word is, but very,
monotone life.
Yes, a monotone life. A very simple, simplistic view of life that is not in keeping with reality. And it stifles the creativity of the children. And it will it'll serve to eliminate to a very in a very broad sense, it will serve to eliminate individuality. And I see this all over the place with the want for school uniforms and you know,
that's a joy I had to live through.
Did you like that?
One of their big selling points for this school uniform, or as they called it, a dress code, was that people, less fortunate families would not have to worry about buying the newest and greatest, like brand names. They just buy like a polo shirt and like a pair of Dickies or something, and your kid would be fine. But that sort of actually added a bigger cost to the families, because then you'd be buying clothes for like running around outside and outside of school, and buying clothes for school. And the kids that, the quote unquote less fortunate kids who dressed like, wore like ratty clothes, who had like holes in their shirts, a year after the dress code was instated, guess what? They were also running around in with shirts with holes in them. It's that didn't change anything at all. But the school, like the principals and the administrators, they felt good about themselves because they quote unquote helped the students. And that was a big pain, because I really couldn't find like polo shirts in the colors that they wanted, like at the local Walmart or something. So we actually had to drive like around an hour, like 20 some miles, just to go to a different store that actually had the specific colors that they allowed, other than black, because black was easy to find.
Yeah, no, this is just ridiculous in every sense of the word. It you know, we are planning a longer, much longer show towards the end of the year about education and other issues in this country, but education will be its own show. And I think we'll revisit this topic more closely then, because this elimination of individuality is a very, very dangerous phenomena, but unfortunately one that I have seen repeated again and again and again. So, it's, it's sad. And people need to stand up and say, no, I don't want this for my kid. But until people do, you're going to keep getting this ultra-liberal PC bullshit over and over and over again. And
it seems that in some schools, parents have fought against and have actually won, but not all.
Oh, yes. Now, parents are enormously powerful in public schools, and in some ways, too powerful. And that's also a subject we will broach later on. But if parents en masse said, no, I don't want this for my kid, it wouldn't be done. And I really think that school uniforms are a terrible, terrible thing, as is the banning of Halloween and the elimination of, gym class activities and anything that is not politically correct, anything that had served children well for decades, if not centuries, but only recently has been deemed politically incorrect. Those things that are eliminated all, in some sense, limit freedom of expression and limit individuality. And that's the big issue in this case, in my opinion. And, parents need to be careful about this. Just rolling over and allowing school districts to take away Halloween and take away other holidays. The minority ruling at the expense of the majority so that everybody is worse off. It is disgusting, but it happens all the time.
See, I wouldn't be as maybe opposed to this if they sort of said, oh, we're not allowing costumes in school because it is a distraction from schoolwork. If they were to go through the whole, this is a school, you go to school to learn and not to dress up as Freddy or Jason, then you're sure I would probably not be as offended by this as I am now. But because they're going to the PC route, the whole, yeah, we have to have in a spirit of equity towards everyone for all the boys and girls, then it's sort of, it's annoying.
Absolutely. All right. So then, we go from one freak show to another. We have election season coming up. It's actually in full tilt right now.
Ooh, the dope show.
Yes. Now, everybody is thinking on the Republican side about Mitt Romney, Rick Perry, Herman Cain. But one of the previous front runners who's seen a drastic slide in the polls is Michelle Bachmann, a representative from Minnesota. And she was dealt a huge setback last week.
Oh?
Yeah. Now, Kemslave, I think you probably know this, but for the benefit of some people in the audience, maybe those in the international community, I have to explain a little bit of how presidential candidates are selected in this nation. We go through a series of elections called primaries. And when a candidate wins a primary, they are allotted a certain amount of delegates that will then, at the end of the nominating season, vote for the person who won them at a national convention. Now, it's much more complicated than that, but basically that's what it is. And the first primary in the nation is in New Hampshire. So, New Hampshire's political primaries are very important because it tends to be a test of a candidate's strength and a candidate's viability to win the nomination. It's not unusual for a candidate to lose the New Hampshire primary and immediately drop out of the race. Because when you lose that, oftentimes you'll see a dwindling of financial support and a dwindling of logistical support. But Michelle Bachmann doesn't have to worry about that.
Oh?
No, she doesn't have to worry about that at all, because her whole campaign staff in New Hampshire quit.
What?
Yep. Now, she only had two people in New Hampshire, so that's one problem. She wasn't actively contesting the state to begin with. But, yeah, her New Hampshire office, consisting of two people, basically, quit. So she no longer has a ground force in New Hampshire. Nobody organizing on her behalf, nobody raising money on her behalf, nobody spreading her message on her behalf. Now, she was never going to win New Hampshire. That is something that Mitt Romney has tied up, gift-wrapped, with a nice little bow on it, just waiting for him to open it. That is his, you know, and that's not going to change. But she is going to do so abysmally bad in New Hampshire that it's unlikely that she could recover from that. Because while some candidates don't always win these primaries, if you do unexpectedly well, like, say, second or third place, when you were not expected to get anywhere close to that high, that can also be almost as good as winning for your fundraising opportunities and things like that. But Michelle Bachmann has just been, you know, if she was a man, I'd say she was castrated. I mean, she has just been just cut off at the knees with this exodus in New Hampshire. It shows a lack of confidence in her and her organization. She lost her campaign manager last month. I guess that's 2 months ago by now. And she's in a lot of trouble. And if she is forced to leave the race, as it looks like she might be forced to, there is every reason to believe that her support, which is very minimal right now to begin with, will transfer to somebody like Herman Cain or Rick Perry, thereby strengthening them against Mitt Romney. Because we have to keep in mind, Mitt Romney is not going for the conservative vote. He's going for the moderate vote. He's going for the fiscal conservative, but not social conservative vote. Whereas Rick Perry and Michelle Bachmann are both going for the same type of Republican voter, the conservative, socially conservative voter. So with her out of the race, which hasn't happened yet, she's still actively contesting this race. But if she is forced out of the race, Mitt Romney stands to lose, and Herman Cain and Rick Perry serve to win because of that. And it's going to be interesting to see. She might unofficially and unexpectedly become something like a kingmaker if she throws her support behind Rick Perry, for instance. She will give him the clout necessary to at least give Mitt Romney, a fight. Because as it stands right now, Herman Cain is the only man who is even close to Mitt Romney in the polls. And since Herman Cain is not a professional politician, he has no experience organizing a ground campaign, the expectation is that he's going to fade pretty soon.
I'm still trying to figure out who the hell Herman Cain is.
You know, this is a subject for a different show because it's going to take a whole half hour to talk about it. But I am just so suspicious of Herman Cain. He's not a conservative, for one thing. He is worse than Mitt Romney because Mitt Romney is proud of his positions and he's changed them every now and then. I think he's right now being pretty honest. But Herman Cain is just, you know, he's a walking disaster. He really is. But anyway, Michelle Bachmann is pretty unimportant when it comes to her standing in the polls. She's fifth with like 8% of Republicans supporting her right now. She's not doing well at all. But that 8% would be enough to put Rick Perry, for instance, within striking distance of Mitt Romney. Again, you know, same voters that they're going for. It's not impossible to see that happen. And, you know, she could stand to be a kingmaker, and by extension, she could secure for herself the vice presidential nomination. So I see a really big opening for her to stay relevant, and it'll be interesting to see what happens if she uses that clout effectively, or if she allows herself to be just forgotten, pushed off to the side, and just slowly fade away. Do you have anything you want to, you know, say or ask about or anything?
Until I read the whole Bachmann staff in the New Hampshire staff left, I forgot that she even existed. So, at least in my mind, she is already faded.
Yeah, well, a lot of people think that too. But you know, she's got 8%, and 8% plus the 13% that Rick Perry has will put him in the low 20s, 21% that is needed to basically tie Mitt Romney for the nomination. There's a lot of variables. It's not as simple as that, but it's still interesting to think of what she could do. All right, so do we have anything else to talk about?
Today? No, I don't think so.
Neither do I. All right, so, ladies and gentlemen, if you enjoyed our show today, please email us at feedback@justgettingbypodcast.com. I'll say that again, feedback@justgettingbypodcast.com. Also, if you want to criticize us, again, email us. If you have any tips, suggestions, email us. And if you want to catch the show notes or if you want to listen to this episode again, or any of the previous episodes, just go to our website, justgingbypodcast.com, and you'll get all of that the information there. And also, I forgot to mention this last show, but please subscribe to us on iTunes. You'll find an iTunes subscribe link. Or if you don't use iTunes, we also have a link for a standard RSS-based podcasting client.
You can also always listen to us on a website, I believe, right?
Absolutely, but we don't see that. I want to be able to track who is listening. Now, when I say that, I'm not tracking people by geography or name or anything. I just want to see how many people subscribe to our show. And I can't see that unless you subscribe. I know probably hundreds of people listen to us right now just by virtue of the fact that we are distributed on the open source No Agenda stream at noagendastream.com. But we have no control over that, and I would really like to see our listening community support us specifically and subscribe. You'll always have the latest show, and I get to know how many people are truly listening to and enjoying us. So I would love to have you subscribe. Now, Chemslave is correct. We have, as long as you have Flash installed, we have an audio player for every show that has, you know, the audio just embedded in there. And we also have a link beneath that where you can go and download it if you do not have Flash available. It will also stream to non-Flash devices, including iPhones, iPads, iPod Touches, Android devices, and even Macs now that don't have Flash installed by default. That being said, Chemslave, good show, and I will talk to you on Friday.
Yep, see you then.